Welcome to the Pixie Podcast, the Pixie Gaming Podcast, of course, where we talk all things video games and what we love about them in two weekly segments with Mr. Luke Roberts and Mr. Paul Acker. Gentlemen, we've got segment one. What are y'all up to? Of course, it's been 2 weeks since our last pod, so we should have some stuff to talk about, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you want me to fire away first, gents, this week, or you?
Yeah, you go first.
You fire away.
So what I've got written down at the moment is obviously I completed Jedi Fallen Order.
Nice.
I liked it. I liked the ending. I thought it was
cool. The ending was ridiculous.
I think the game's reasonably well made, apart from the making it back to your ship thing is just infuriating.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But it's decent. I really like it. I'm looking forward to the next one. Looking forward to see where they go with it and stuff. I thought I quite liked the characters. None of it like blew me away. It wasn't like I was like, oh, this is the best game I've ever played. Of course, I'm reasonably biased anyway because I'm a massive Star Wars fan. So like, I'm gonna love it. I'm gonna love it anyway. But like,
I reckon it was the best way they've done Vader though in a game because the just hopelessness of like fighting him is just so good.
Yes, I like that. I didn't necessarily love his inclusion, though. Just for myself, I thought that second sister was really cool. I thought she was just like a good enough villain in her own right to be the villain.
Yeah, she was.
And then when obviously he turned up, I understand him like just killing her straight away and going and doing stuff and, you know, doing his own thing. But like, and I love like the fear and terror that Vader gives you and stuff, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But I guess they could have just, I'd have preferred if he had a little more dialogue in there.
But
I just thought like when he came I was like, oh cool, but I thought like I don't necessarily need you to enjoy this game, rather, I feel like he was put in there to sell it, if you know what I mean.
As opposed
to for the reason being that he would actually turn up and be bothering with these guys, if you know what I mean. So I really enjoyed Jedi Fallen Order. I've also got I had a duos win with Bushan.
Nice.
And that was good. He clutched up massive. I got shot by a sniper right at the last minute and he took out two teams to win it. It was really good. But we played really well the whole game. It's just one of those games where like every team you come across, you just totally do. And like, you just feels like you've really just got the upper hand every single time. Like up against it or anything. Which was good. We did like, our rotations really good and everything, which is decent. And then the other one is I got a win with Luke and Bennett and Stu, obviously. Which
nice.
Was quite good. Yeah. We played reasonably well again, just everybody stuck to it. Bennett does his own thing as always. And yeah, it was a good little win. I've come so close so many times in the solos as well. It's really annoying. And the last thing I have to talk about in regards to my own gaming specifically is and just before I move on, I will say that I'd give Jedi Order like a solid 8 out of 10. Really good. But it's not like
didn't blow you away.
No, because I think it has room to, which is good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the last thing was a disastrous Monday that we played together last time, which so I can't remember much of it, to be honest. I just remember it being a complete disaster. I'd written down disastrous Monday, haha. which must have been post the Monday that we had together the last, because our streak certainly didn't strike back up again, let's say. And hasn't done since. And yeah, so you guys move on now then. Lance, you guys crack on and tell us what you're up to or what you've been up to.
No, I'll let Luke jump.
Yeah, no way. So obviously I avoided Warzone for a bit, but so I downloaded FIFA again. Obviously, like I said last time, it was a game I played or spent a lot of time on. This one now, that it's obviously late game, it's you know, without the season been going on, there's not been much live upgrades and stuff. So it's been very difficult, I think, for them to bring out content which is enjoyable. Like, I just haven't enjoyed it. So obviously, I have played a few games. Didn't get Weekend League this time round. But again, the Ultimate Team is still something that... am I going to purchase it next year? Of course I'm going to. There's no reason I wouldn't at the moment. So I've enjoyed FIFA. Obviously, Warzone, I've had quite a few more wins since playing with you boys. Maybe like another 5.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So I've been dotting around. And one thing I said online is that I have such like different groups that I play with. Obviously, they all have their own different tendencies. So that I can play with a range of people. Because, you know, some players will have to play with a set team to actually start getting wins or anything.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite, you know, I enjoy the fact that I can just mingle with whoever and have a chance, if you will.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Sometimes I go into games with some players and I'm just there like, yeah, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do then feel like I'm just playing for a top 10, which, you know, I like to play for a win. I get really competitive.
Yeah, especially battle
which
round.
Can sometimes go against me. But, you know, no one remembers second, as I always say.
No, exactly. No, you're right.
But, you know, apart from that, I've been looking at, like, maybe re-downloading, or not re-downloading, but doing all the updates for Red Dead.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Because I haven't played a story... I was thinking to myself, I haven't played a good story game now for months. Because I don't feel there's been anything really out that I'd enjoy. Maybe a good indie game. I've been looking at a few of them because there's been a big sale on the Xbox at the moment. So there's a few on there that I could maybe have a dabble in. But apart from that, boys, just the Warzone and a bit of FIFA, really. Oh, not really much different.
Do you think FIFA next year will have fanless stadiums as a new option?
Make it nice and realistic. Bloody hell, eh? Can you imagine? No,
you're playing career mode, and Corona comes along. You got to like suspend your season.
Oh, well, this is it. You know, I feel like it's just that everyone always goes. They're the same game. Realistically, yes, they are, and I think that's why I've enjoyed COD this year. You know, having a battle pass to it, having the war zone, having all the weapons being brought out every season. It just gives you something to like look forward to and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think obviously when we found out that the season 4 had been delayed, I was like, what the hell? Like,
yeah,
and obviously it was for a good cause. I understand that. You know, for someone that's not been acting in it or whatever, I was very much like, oh Christ, now I gotta wait, you know. And it's something I was looking forward to, so. But apart from that, yeah, really enjoying COD. So next COD will definitely be on the cards.
Yeah, deal.
Paul.
Yeah, obviously since the 2 weeks ago we done the last podcast.
Yep.
Obviously, it was a good podcast. We had a pretty damn good few games on that Monday, but obviously it got cut short, and I've had a bit of a change over the past 2 weeks. But it's been a little bit difficult for me to jump back into gaming. But the good thing is, obviously, I've been playing private matches, which I haven't done in ages, like Gunfight and Search, just like 3v3s with a bunch of friends. And it's like it's me, Liam, his sister and her friend, and Miller, because we've managed to get Miller to get it now. So it's almost been like reigniting my fun and like love for COD, because it's just a bit of fun, like putting a class on, we're just throwing knives and just running around with like those sticks and shit. So it's good fun. So I've had a lot of fun on that the past week. I've touched on Warzone. I didn't the very first week. This week I've dived back into it a little bit, just to obviously, like, I don't want to fall completely out of touch for when we, like tonight, do our sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I played a bit of Warzone. I haven't really dropped off too much. Just everything got put on hold for a wee bit. But I have recently downloaded Spider-Man.
Nice.
After seeing the reveal of the next DLC they're bringing out with a PS5.
Ooh.
It's like a little mini Miles Morales story. So I've downloaded Spider-Man to like play through that again. I've platted it and completed it 100%. There's nothing left to do, but I'm just going to play it again for the fun. Like, I fucking love Marvel.
You're going to realise that Star Wars, that Spider-Man game is a standalone game, right?
It's a standalone, but it's an expansion.
Yeah, it's like Thingy from Uncharted 4.
Uncharted, right? Lost Legacy, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah. I'd done my research, mate. I was nearly in tears when I watched the fucking trailer, because Miles is my favourite Marvel character.
Yeah, he's super cool. I really like him. And that the story of that Spider-Man game is absolutely fantastic.
Storytelling-wise, it's start to finish beautiful. Brilliant. And like it brings you to Miles' story so well during the game.
Really good. Really good.
So I can't wait for that. But yeah, bar that, that's pretty much me for this week.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, the only other thing I wanted to just touch base on in what y'all up to is, of course, we've all played season 4 now, so we'll just dive into our thoughts on it before we move on to headlines and hearsay, because I've got a pretty packed headlines and hearsay for this, because turns out we had a pretty pretty crazy week for gaming this week. So I also have a game later on, which is I'm Game or Game Over.
Okay.
Which means I'll say something to you, and you obviously either say I'm games and you'd like to do it, or you think it would be a good thing, or game over.
Okay.
And I did write it for 2 weeks ago, so there is certain stuff in there that's such as, I'm not sure whether it's actually happened in season 4 or not. But yes, season 4, as I said, of Call of Duty Warzone. I personally think it's just adding a nice bit of icing on the cake. Everything I like about it. There's nothing that I'm finding annoying. There's nothing that has changed too much that has changed my perception of the game, or nothing seems to be OP or anything. I really, really like the idea of flash sales.
Oh, they have fun. The fire sales are mad.
But they're great. But the only problem is that I found that like, because when I was playing solos, of course, which is very different, but solos usually your main enemy in a lot of ways is self-res, especially if you're getting third partied. So you're killing someone and someone comes in and third parties you know your direction, your attention is directed to them. And quite often people are getting self-resed off now, but I noticed that's probably because I had flash sales in my game, so they got it for free.
And yeah,
there a lot, but it's not bothering me really. I think is anything like that, any kind of like thing that you bring into a game that's all for everyone, like a gun. If you bring in a gun that's really good, it's a little bit more difficult because people have to unlock it via the battle pass, and there's a little bit of like
level it up, get the attachment,
thieving problems and stuff. Exactly. And the problem, that was my problem with like the growl and stuff. Like when I first started playing with you guys a bit more full on, I was like, this is really annoying because I have to keep picking up a growl because I feel as if I'm at a disadvantage about it. Luckily there was a multiplayer weekend, so I went absolutely AWOL on it. I got 56 kills in a bloody.
I've seen that. Yeah, the shipment.
That was pretty crazy, mate. That was madness. But I've unlocked akimbo pistols as my secondary pistols now. What is it when you're not on the UAV class? That whatever that is.
Overkill.
Not overkill. Ghost class. My ghost class. Right, yeah. Double pistols because I feel like they're super OP up close.
What pistols did you go with?
Just the original one, the one you drop with.
Oh, fair.
Because you know how quick you kill people when you use that pistol.
Yeah, they are.
I just doubled it up at Kimbo, and I was smashing people on Team Deathmatch with it and stuff.
Nice.
But yeah, so anyway, back to season 4. I like it. I don't feel the map needs changing. I don't feel there's anything. And I know there's going to be live events and whatever, but I'm just loving it.
Yeah. Well, I'll quickly jump in because mine's going to be short and sweet because I haven't played as much as you guys. Yep. But Fire Sale, bloody love it. Incredible, really good addition. I really like the fact they've kept the loadout drops untouched. They're still 10k. The jailbreak, brilliant again. Fucking ingenious. Such a good fucking way to... Yeah, the fact that like they're stood out as a battle royale for the replayability during the game, like being brought back in, to then you'd think it would be overkill adding something like jailbreak, but it's not. It's brilliant. The third one, the supply choppers, fucking hate them. Stupid idea. Whoever come up with that's fucking numpty. But apart from that, loving the floor loot. Floor loot is fucking brilliant. Like, absolutely brilliant this time around. Yeah. Bison, the MP7, the burst M4. Again. Not sure whose idea that was.
I picked that up the other day. I'm not sure. Can you flick it onto automatic fire?
No, it's a perk.
No, it's burst or single.
But yeah, that's my sort of quick synopsis of it.
Yep. Yeah. No. So obviously I've played it quite a lot in season 4. Both got both the new weapons as well. Because I got the battle pass. So obviously the Vector. Oh my lord! You'll probably see it because it is a drop.
Oh, is it?
It's a legendary weapon. The fire rate on that thing is insane. Like, it doesn't, like, if against an MP7, it's going to fry him. So obviously I'm leveled that up quite a bit at the moment. Might put that in a class tonight, give it a run out, see how it goes. The C-Max, the only thing I've noticed is I feel the recoil's a lot worse than the growl. It does more damage and slightly less fire rate. I haven't seen many people using it at the moment, but I haven't leveled mine up enough, I feel, to actually give it a good run in the war zone. So obviously, there was a lot of talk about it being better than the growl and all that. Regarding all the extras they brought in, it seemed very much directed to speed the game up, except the redeployment. Obviously, fire sale, everyone's going to try and get to a buy. There's going to be gunfights. And then, like you said, with the choppers. Now, the loot the chopper drops is actually insane. It drops like, I had a couple, and you got two armor boxes, two munitions.
VSAT as well.
VSAT worth 12k cat. Like, there was just loads in there. But to give your position away and all that, you know, like, obviously mid game could be all right. but I've only done a couple, like one or two in the time I've played. So I don't think they're something I'd shoot for. Whereas a fire set, I'm trying to get to a buy straight away. I do really like that idea. It's definitely brought a different dynamic because, you know, if you're in the between two, you're like, shit. And then when you miss one, you're actually annoyed. Whereas the choppers, I'm like, well, we're pretty set up for game or whatever anyway.
The fire sale, worry. Just to interject, has completely changed solos because solos is a camp fest at best of times. But in one of those sales, people, even the hardest camper, can't help
resist
go out. So it's really good to get people
at least
moving.
To get that self-res or whatever. Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I think that's what they've done it for, to be fair. Like, it's a great shout. Obviously, the redeployment, I suppose, doesn't work in solos unless they're in Gulag. Because, obviously, you know, dead teammate. The most wanted contract as well. Like, what do we think on that? I mean, I've used it and it's worked. Like, I've got both my teammates back in trios and stuff. Because I have found a lot. I've just jumped in a vehicle and drove around.
It's good, but there needs to be something on the other side of it. So, like, for you picking up the contract, you've got that incentive because you've got to bring your teammates back. But hunting somebody down, there's no incentive. You get next to no cash. You don't get your own teammates back for killing them.
Yeah.
Like, there's no incentive for the other way around.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think you make it the same amount, maybe. Like, the 5K the person's going to get,
you get that.
You give that to the people that hunt them.
Okay.
Yeah, as well. Yeah. That's what I think they should do. Just because, like you're saying, sometimes a guy will camp in a building and won't even get looked at.
And if you kill like the guy, shot popped I don't know if it's like... changed, but if you kill the most wanted bounty... you're the only person in your team that gets the cash from it. It's not split. It wasn't split between your team. It was whoever killed them got the cash.
Oh, right. Well,
it might have changed.
But obviously that's... Well, no, I don't... Well, I don't go hunting this one because I'm not that hardcore yet. I'd rather hunt a bounty, you know? Like you say, each of you then get the 4K sort of thing. But yeah, season four, it's looking good. I feel the game's running a lot...
I had someone one of the guys from Shark Lex and said that he feels like he's moving slower.
Yeah.
Just ever so slower. He said he had to turn his sensitivity up because he felt like he was really in certain scenarios. So just I don't know whether you guys have noticed that or keep an eye out for it if you do.
No, it's something I'd pick up on because obviously with my MP5 class, that's what I base it around with speed.
Yeah.
But I haven't felt hindered at all. It's different.
There either. I was just interested in what you guys did either.
No.
So anyway, there we are. That is what you're allowed to do for this week. We'll give you a bit more of an in-depth analysis of season four, hopefully next week, because obviously we're having a session tonight and it's the three of us. Course, so there'll be talking points on that and we'll see if we can get a win or wins, hopefully, at some point together because it's been quite a while.
Overdue.
We move on to Pixie headlines and hearsay. I've got a lot to talk about. We have just as we've been speaking, I'm not sure if you guys have seen it, but there has been a Star Wars game released.
Yep, seen that, yeah.
And it dogfighting space game, which looks really cool. I'm super looking forward to that. I just wonder whether, if you guys had seen it, what you did think. But I'm Mr. Star Wars anyway, so it's going to be super attractive for me. I'm absolutely horrifically terrible at Star Wars space fights in Battlefront 2, so I'll be interested to know whether it's a little smoother than them or not. I don't know. But they were pretty well done. I'm really interested to see how that goes. I've also noticed there's a really cool character from Rebels in it. The green... I can't remember her bloody name, but she's a Twi'lek, and she's in the back of it, which proves that she's in the game, which is cool. And she is like an ace pilot, which is decent as well. And I like the fact that you can choose your faction. Like, I'm blatantly going to go with the Empire because I love it. But it's like really cool. We don't accept failure and stuff from the Empire, and it looks dope. I'm not sure whether it's going to be next gen as well. It'll be interesting. Speaking of next gen, the PS5 was revealed. I've got a few questions to ask. Question one is, what do you think of the games if you saw any of them? Question two is, what did you think of how the system looks? And question three is, how is your overall feelings on the whole thing?
I think the games look fucking insane. I think as far as I know there's always obviously the little rivalry between PlayStation and Xbox, like who does the reveal better. Like, most years, I've been like, all right, yeah, Xbox have done well. Like, they've got quite good exclusives. PlayStation got quite good exclusives. But from the trailers that I've seen and, like, the way they presented it, PlayStation just blew them out of the water. And I know the Xbox has got better specs, but it looks fantastic. It looks like it's going to feel fantastic.
Yeah.
The games look incredible. They're very clever of them, you know, to drop Miles Morales alongside all this stuff going on. You know, that trailer coming out then was a very, very clever marketing move on their part.
Yeah.
But what was the last question, mate?
Horizon as well.
Yeah, Horizon. Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. West something? Wild West? Or West Wild?
Forbidden West or something.
That's it, yeah. That looks really, really cool.
Yeah.
But I just haven't completed the first one.
You can see the Golden Gate Bridge, which is cool, in the background.
That's cool.
The end of Horizon 1, I can't tell you, is just absolutely fantastic. Like, yeah, really, it's completely blew me away. The idea of it, the idea of what happened to them and how they got to where they've got, it's like such a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Really, really cool on how they became like tribe people again, but also kind of futuristic and stuff. It's really, really cool. But yeah. Yeah, yeah. The last question was just, what's your overall feeling about PS5? Are you like excited for it? What, or are you not?
Yeah, well, after seeing the reveal, I went and pre-ordered Last of Us 2, and then looked at like the options for pre-ordering the PlayStation 5 as well. So I'll probably be doing that.
Yeah, nice. Lucas?
Yeah, so obviously on the reveal, the graphics, my goodness. Like you say, the Xbox is rated as a better system, all that sort of stuff with specs, but the thing is, I've had both from this generation, PS4 and Xbox One. The only reason I switched for Xbox One is because of older players I had on 360. Now this year, mate, I'm literally torn. I'm thinking it might just be easier to go sod it and I'll stick with my PC and upgrade that. But, you know, I've always been a console gamer. So I've honestly, after watching the graphics, mate, are insane. Yeah. And, you know, like the PS5, the PlayStation controller has always been a problem of mine. But this one as well, obviously it's on this
model
now. It looks a lot sturdier, you know? It looks solid and it looks nice. Obviously, there has been a few like jokes going around about it looking like a fucking A4 folder like wallet thing and all that, like with paper. It does look like
Wi-Fi.
But at the end of the day, that's how technology's looking, you know? It looks sleek, it looks smart. Yeah. You know, you imagine that I'm picturing that on my desk, it's just going to look
It looks cool.
So honestly, at this rate, I'm probably going to go with, well, bit more research, but at the moment it looks like PS5. I'm you know, crossplay isn't a problem.
I can understand you going with Xbox if it was still segregated in certain ways, but the fact that like games really have taken crossplay into their own hands now, so they just
It's no matter.
Thank you, Fortnite, for that.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, and I mean, you know. With the Spider-Man reveal as well, like that's one game I always wanted to play, and we couldn't get on Xbox. Obviously, being a PS4 exclusive.
That would be, if I had to suggest anything for you, Luke, would be to get a PS5 because it's going to be backwards compatible and you're going to be able to play God of War, you're going to be able to play Spider-Man, you're going to be able to play Horizon and stuff like that, which are all absolutely fantastic games.
Yeah.
And obviously you have the same thing, really. It's just, they are very similar in a lot of ways, systems. It's like choosing an Apple or an Apple.
It's, you know, Android.
You can get the best of both worlds in a lot of ways. If you have one or the other, it doesn't really matter, but it does. It would if there was things that were locked to it, like if Apple only had Facebook or only had Instagram, you might buy Apple then, you know. So that's the thing I'd suggest, is that I feel like PS4 are leagues ahead of Xbox in regards to their exclusives, and
definitely
worth keeping an eye on in regards to if you do stuff. But then again, also at the same time, Luke, you're not specifically a big storyline player, so I don't think it's gonna
be no but that's the thing. I think but I do feel like with like, obviously it's going to be time soon with a little a story game, you could stop and go wherever you like, stuff like that, and I think it's going to be more of a benefit to me, and I want it to be a gamer anyway, so you start a story game. But, you know, it's that sort of thing, you know?
So, the only other thing was the Fortnite design, which we dove into anyway. So, yeah, PS5 reveal, I thought was very, very cool. It was decent that they seemed to just, blow it out of the water, really. They just done really well. They really sort of smooth in their actions. It was like a little tiny mini E3. It was nice to have something like that again, something to look forward to. I like the design of it. I thought that it looked horrendous stood up, but when I saw it laid out, it was way more comfortable with it. I've also heard a rumor that it's bigger than the original Xbox One. It's huge, apparently, the PS5.
I'd rather it be big and have, you know, I won't do it now because obviously we're on the podcast, but I'd rather it be big than sound like my PlayStation does right now.
100%.
Honest to God, I'm in my windowsill and I can still hear it. It sounds like a fucking airport in my room.
Yeah, it's terrible. And we've both got original gen PS4s, me and Paul.
Yeah, back from the day, like, yeah.
But you say that as well, though. The new Xbox X series has actually only got the one fan. So that's going to be an interesting, like, review. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting for this next lot. It's got one huge fan.
I hope that,
obviously, circulation's going to be.
Yeah, they don't
big.
Count for knobheads like me leaving the PlayStation on for 24 hours straight.
Well, the way that they want it to be in rest mode, and the fact that you can download games in rest mode, updates and stuff, so they want that in a way. Okay, so we move on. True. We've now got No Man's Sky, for example, is something that I noticed was on Xbox Game Pass, but which I thought, Luke, I would suggest, if you've got any time, to download No Man's Sky. Two things I'd say is one, just be patient with it to begin with, because it's a little clunky with the controls, like sprint is the opposite to COD. It's like the opposite stick which I'm sure you can change in the settings anyway. And the second thing is play on creative, because you don't like the biggest problem with No Man's Sky is everyone who plays it goes, oh, it's really boring, there's nothing to do, it's really hard because I've got to mine a load of stuff, and then when I've mined it, I can only zoom to one planet, and then but what you can do in creative mode is you can zoom to any planet you want to. Any galaxy, you could go off and just see loads of wacky stuff. And they've got this really cool thing now, we can go to like a home hub and see what other people have made and stuff like that, which is cool.
Decent.
And also, another thing is that cross platform, so you can play with other people online, so that's cool. You can both jump in your ships and zoom to different planets. So I thought that'd be quite cool for us to play at some point. Something very, very different, more like going and exploring places and seeing what wacky creatures you can see, as opposed to teaming up and shooting other people.
Running and gunning.
Yeah. So that, I just thought I'd give you an update on that, guys, just to let you know
what
the track was with No Man's Sky. We move on to, so we've got two more things to go. We've got the little game that I've got at the end, and we've got the meat of this podcast, which I thought I'd allow you guys to have your say on. And it is basically the whole impact of the fact that the gaming is the biggest industry in the world. It creates more music than music and movies put together, which is amazing. It's crazy when you look at that.
I wouldn't have believed it a few years ago, but once Fortnite kind of done its rounds, the amount of money that got pumped into gaming through streaming and events and stuff was ridiculous.
And of course, it is probably the biggest medium in the world now, and these streamers and different people that are involved with gaming are looked to as idols and everything, and also the companies. And one thing that I was going to sort of bring to the attention of you guys was of course, we all know that the Black Lives Matter thing, stuff has been happening, the movement with everything, and there's been sometimes negatives in rioting, but sometimes positives in change. There's lots of changes happening. There's lots of things that are being passed in the States and stuff like that, which are really great. And it's showing as well that perhaps, you know, a lot of people don't agree with racism and aren't going to just stand by, which is great. And one of the people, or one of the things that pledged themselves to it, was, of course, close to our hearts, is Modern Warfare. And it changed the thing, so that every single time it brings up, it has an anti-discrimination little message.
And you can't kill people in the loading screen either. The startup, I don't know whether that's to do with it or not.
Oh, yeah, potentially. You can still do that sometimes, but it's like less carnage now. I thought it was just really amazing to see gaming react in a way to it as well as just like, you know, your big corporation like Nike doing stuff and sports people. But it's just cool to see something that was so close to us doing it, and also that, once again, it's sparking a conversation like this on the podcast. I feel like it's a big change that needs to happen needs to be more accepting of people and everything, like with all different shapes, race, sizes, and, yeah, and colors and everything. And I think gaming is somewhere where a lot of people find common ground with that. And I think
that's important. Mm-hmm.
That, like, it doesn't matter who you are. One minute you could be on the mic and playing in a team deathmatch with someone, and you could become friends with someone online, like who's an American or who is from a or who is black or white or any race or creed. And I think that's amazing that gaming could do that. And I just thought, just wondered what you guys thought of gaming sort of being open to that discussion and having those things brought into it.
Yeah, Luke.
I'll start off. That's right, Paul. So obviously where you said about sport being the biggest thing in the world, I feel, and how it's always been there. Like, you've always got the opposition, yada, 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 coloured players, whatever. There's always been that, and they've always tried to fight it. Gaming's getting to that stage where you just literally said how big it's getting, how much bigger it is, the music and stuff like that. People, like, you think of the amount of COD players, just COD players, obviously, that had that. That comes up on their screen straight up. Everyone's, and, you know, it made me stop and think, yeah, I was annoyed, but now I was like, the reasoning behind it isn't just it's been delayed, it's... We're going to stand by our workers. We're going to stand by people that, you know, whatever. It could be workers. It could be people that play the game. We're going to stand by them. And we're going to, you know, show that we respect what is happening in the world right now. Because, you know, it's not just America. It's happening everywhere, unfortunately. And it's one of those things that it will never stop. It's never going to be stopped 100%. And this is, you know, one thing where... the George Floyd thing come over to England, there was riots there, there was all that sort of stuff. And it shows, like, worldwide, it's a thing that people do feel very strongly about.
Yes.
And with the gaming world being another sort of world, you know, some people, gamers, wouldn't have left their house, wouldn't have even known anything about it, because all they do is, you know, game, or, you know, go to work, then game, that's it. So obviously having that, I think, was amazing. And, you know, I just think, it's something where we all, you know, as together, it will eventually lighten down. But it's like I said, there is still never going to happen where it just stops, unfortunately. But at the end of the day,
there will always be room in the world, sadly, of course there will, for idiots. But
yeah, but, and that's it.
That we can certainly work towards people who are sort of on the fence, or people who don't care because this or don't care because that, to actually realize that there are people out there suffering from these kinds. One interesting thing before you carry on, Paul, is there's a guy called Blessing Adeode, and he is just joined Kind of Funny recently. He went to do that. Do you know when I had done that Kind of Funny up and comers thing where I was trying to get over and get on Kind of Funny? And he's a black guy, and he got on to Kind of Funny, and he went on to be on Kind of Funny now. They've employed him, which is cool.
Decent.
And he's been obviously in high demand, surprisingly, for people's podcasts, and he's really flying the flag for, like, black gamers and stuff, and it's really, really cool. And he was just, there was something interesting the other day that I was listening to him on a podcast, just saying that, like, a lot of people stereotype black gamers for being, like, into sports or into, like, you know, NBA 2K or into, like, FIFA and stuff like that. But really, like, there's loads and loads of black gamers who love all different types of games, just exactly the same as us, who play storyline games and everything else. And it's just amazing to see gaming be so tolerant as well, especially when, you know, I think everybody knows that gaming can be very toxic. Yeah.
Which would transition quite nicely to what I was going to say, is to touch on Luke's point about, like, you know, and yourself, like, gaming being the big media of the world at the minute. Like, everything's been done for it. Fortnite, CODs, like, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was like 5.9 million in a couple of weeks, like, players logged in. And, like, in regards to the Black Lives Matter, like, it's the ignorance of the younger generations, I think, and even our generation is guilty for it. Like, we know growing up through school, and there was plenty of racial slurs and stuff. It became second nature at one point, I remember. And it's not the best time in the world. Like, it was ridiculous. But the fact that the games are now putting this point across, saying, like, because, like Pez said, the gaming community can be one of the most toxic communities in the world. But with them shutting everything down and putting these messages up on, like, every single loading screen, like, it's it's kind of showing them, like, you know, you may be part of our community, you may enjoy our games, but we don't stand for you being ignorant little bastards. Yeah. And you're gonna respect, yes. You know, yeah. The way the world's changing.
Exactly. Yeah. They're taking out all of the racial,
yes, which is brilliant because there was way too many of them.
Exactly. And just it's just cool to see that the game is doing that, and it's also cool to see that of course we are three white guys,
yeah,
and we're
I physically don't see how, like, I can understand, you know, some people having different opinions on different aspects of the movement, but overall you can't say it's a bad thing. You can't say it's not a good thing, because overall the overarching sort of end game they're going for is just equality at the end of the day. That's what it boils down to. They're people like us. They shouldn't have to be discriminated against. And yeah, it's good that it's changing. It is.
Yeah, 100%. Well said, gentlemen. But we'll leave that there. And of course, we hope that anybody who is out there, regardless of what race or creed you are, you're of course welcome to listen and be a part of this podcast.
Forever, we don't give a shit.
So we move on to I'm game or game over. So I've got a list of things, and you can either say I'm game or game over. So if you are game, it means that you're totally on board. You're sold. You'd buy it if it came out. Or game over is nah, no thank you. I prefer if that didn't happen. So number one interesting point that was made the other day on a podcast I was listening to about gaming was Halo Infinite or whatever it is going to be coming out very soon, and they're talking about how good it's going to be and stuff, and I think it'll be great. That's one of the reasons that I, of course, if I was a very rich man, I'd have both consoles, which is not going to happen with how much they're going to be, but it's certainly interesting. So I absolutely love Halo's multiplayer. It's always been like a real sort of soft spot for me, Halo's multiplayer. But they mentioned in the podcast that perhaps Halo should have a battle royale. Now, what do you guys think of a Halo battle royale? Are you game or game over? Because you can imagine if it's like Warzone, you could get in like a Wraith and fly around and stuff, and you could have all the different.
I'd have to say game over, just purely because if something ain't broke, don't fix it. I know COD went down the battle royale route, but they could make it work, don't get me wrong, but Halo's always been about that core 6v6, you know, your shield. Like, I don't know how they'd work it into a battle royale, really.
I mean, for me, it would, I don't know.
Yeah,
I want to say game over, but I would give it a go. Halo was always the OG multiplayer game for me. I played Halo 3 before I played any COD. So I always had that, you know, in the back of my head, Halo was the multiplayer game to play. And, you know, I watched all the pro gamers and that playing it. You know, it was very strong start for me. Yeah, so obviously it'd be something I'd try. But it's like Paul said, don't break it if you're not broken.
Don't fix it if it's broken. Game over, purely because I can't see how it would work myself.
I can certainly
think
it could work. I think that it would work, and I think that people would really enjoy it. I just feel like it's a
oversaturated you need to stand out, market. And it's becoming harder and harder to do that.
Yeah,
for sure. But I think one of the things I really don't like about gaming at the moment is that there is a sort of endless thirst from gamers for something new, and every time like a new trailer comes out, everyone's like, oh my god, that's great, I want to get it. And it's like, you know, I understand that, but like with COD we were saying this whole time, it's like you don't always have to be bigger and better. Sometimes subtle changes are better. Like, that's why I agree with the fact that they've done in season 4, they've not like blown the top off and completely changed.
Oh, that's one thing, sorry. This literally will take about 30 seconds. Did you guys notice the teaser for a second map? It were in the trailer for season 4. Price is looking at a heartbeat UAV sensor thing, and it's got Verdansk circled, and then it's got Uzbekistan over to the right, over to the left. So it looks like Uzbekistan is going to be the new map, because in the loading screen, it's Pripyat and Chernobyl as well now. But yeah, carry on.
Yeah, cool. So they're going to have a Middle Eastern-like map. Okay, cool. So we move on to the next one, which is the Growl to be nerfed. Game. Are you game or game over?
Nah, game is way too powerful, man.
But the reason I say no is because I've won games with other weapons and I don't need the Growl. Like, I don't feel... To be fair, when I'm watching like Twitch and stuff, you watch the pro gamers, they'll use it when they're good, sweaty. When they're not, they use other stuff. I mean, to be honest, I'm game over. I don't feel it does. I don't, you know, I know it's the most accurate. It's got, you know, the best iron sights, all that sort of stuff.
But I think if anything, at the end just of the a day, slight adjustment to the damage range. Because you can snipe people with it, mate.
Right, yeah.
The problem is you can cross map people in next no time.
Yeah,
that's very true.
But perhaps not even the damage range, but just if you even thought about giving it some recoil, that might help. Because it's like, I have not even got to move it. It's just, you just put that little line on where, like, because snipers don't even have time to look at me before I'm like lasering.
Yeah, you can get rid of their shield in a split. If someone's got slightly slow reactions, they got no shield left.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
If they're like an absolute mile away, if they're up close to death. Okay. So you're also you're separated on that one. Luke is Paul's game, Luke's game over. We've got Jedi Fallen Order sequel. Of course, Luke, you haven't played Jedi Order, but
yeah, I mean, like at the end of the day, I'm jump game into. Obviously start you know, from what I've heard from you two talking about it, I'd be game. But the only sort of Star Wars games I've played have been the Battlefront, so the story mode haven't really been much. It's been the massive multiplayer maps and stuff like that, which I've loved. You know, I've re-downloaded them, gone knows how many times, and enjoy them still. You know, I played PS2, played them now. So obviously I'd be game for a new Star Wars because it's one of those franchises, mate, that's, you know, so strong. You know, and there's always going to be a market for it.
Yeah, if they change about the replayability, I'm definitely game for that. First one was
you're both game on. I've got two more. One is an all digital future.
Oh, what you mean, like game wise? Nah, game.
Yeah, just turn us down slightly on your phone, Luke.
Sorry,
that's all right. I'm just getting a little bit of feedback.
There you go.
All right, sweet. So an all digital future. So they have brought out a PS5 with no disc and a PS5 with a disc. Would you like there to be a discless
game
future?
Over. I'm a collector. That's my only thing. I like seeing my collection.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? It is nice to have that old school. Yeah. I'd be game over. I think we're going to have discs, cartridges, whatever, for a while yet.
Yeah.
For sure.
Cool. And last is a Sonic reboot.
Sonic for me, Sonic for me jumps back to the Sega. So I remember playing Sonic for, you know, when I was 4 or 5, that sort of age. So I would definitely want to reboot and I would definitely play it. You know, I played it on the Dreamcast, I played it on the GameCube, I've played every Sonic, I believe. So I definitely,
if they were to do it in the same style as Sonic Adventures, I think it was.
Yes.
Where you had the Chocobo Farms.
Yeah, the 3D one.
If they'd done a remake of that single game alone, mate, I'd spend £100 on it. I'd love that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd definitely be game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting, gentlemen. Well, there we are. That is this week's podcast, Done and Dusted. Very, very good.
Always a pleasure.
Coming, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Very much. And I look forward to, hopefully, God.
Yeah, we'll get a
win the next
easy.
Time.
We win. Boom.
Yeah, we will tonight.
Sweet. I've just got a snip off the start of this, and I'll be on God. So I'll see you next.
No worries, gentlemen.
Peace out, boys.
All right. Peace out. Thank you. Bye.
Catch you.